Hare Krishna. I've been asked to speak a little bit about Lord Balaram. So I don't have a text. I was trying to choose a text from the 10th canto, but I couldn't lay my hand on something. So what we will do is we will run through a couple of, maybe one or two pastimes of Lord Balaram. Then we will look at the personality of Lord Balaram. And then we will look at some esoteric meanings behind some of the pastimes of Lord Balaram. And I think that should cover enough time, probably, if we have the time. So without further ado, or rather we'll start, let's look at the personality of Lord Balaram first, then how he was born, how he took birth on this planet, then from there we'll go to the pastimes. Then we'll end with the esoteric readings. I think it should work that way. Lord Balaram is non-different from Krishna himself. And during his earthly pastime, he was conceived through Devaki, transferred to the womb of Rohini. And it is said his complexion is fair, or you might say white, if you like. And Krishna's complexion is dark, or you can say black, if you like. Lord Balaram has a very, very, will I say, interesting position in our, shall I say, in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, because Lord Balaram is non-different from Nityananda in Gaura Lila, and Nityananda is considered as our Adi Guru or our first Guru. And reason for this we'll see as we go on. Generally, we are most of us are familiar, or most of us are very conversant with our Shiksha Parampara, the one we see on the altar, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda. But if you look properly, it is more of a Shiksha Parampara. But that is not to say we do not have a Diksha Parampara. We have a Diksha Parampara, which comes from Nityananda himself, to Janavanitai, to Bir Chandra, to Gaurakishore Das Babaji, then to Bhaktisiddhanta, then to Prabhupada. One or two names are missing in between. But our Nityananda, our Diksha Parampara stems down from Nityananda. So that's why he's called our Adi Guru. And Nityananda is non-different from Lord Balaram in Krishna Lila. So Lord Balaram had quite some interesting pastimes while physically present with Krishna during Krishna's earthly pastimes. But the interesting thing to note is that in the Leela before that, in Ram Leela, he came as Lakshman, Lord Ramachandra's younger brother. And it is said that as the younger brother of Lord, because Ramachandra played the role of the ideal king, the ideal husband, the ideal son, the ideal everything. And in that Leela, Lakshman, who is Balaram, was his younger brother, and he played, we will say, the ideal younger brother. He went to the forest with him, even though he didn't have to. served him selflessly. Even when Sita accused him, he was the perfect younger brother anyone could ask for. So in Krishna Lila, Balaram says, you know, enough of this younger brother deal. Let us switch places. You know, you do the younger brother thing this time, I do the big brother thing, you know. And let's see how it works this time. So they switch places. Okay, no problem. But it's interesting to note that even though this role plays take or happen during the Leelas, Lord Balaram is a very important part in the cosmic manifestation itself. It says first Krishna expands as Balaram, then Balaram expands as Pradyumna and Nirud, then they further expand to the four quadruple expansions, and then from Balaram comes Mahashankarshan, from Mahashankarshan comes Shirodakashai, Gabodakashai, Karandakashai, and Shesha, and then, and so on and so forth. So, Balaram as, I don't want to use the word person, but Balaram as a spiritual being is non-different from Krishna. And a lot of spiritual responsibility is transferred to the personification of Lord Balaram. Now, to the degree that we can tap into that personality, to that degree we also get the spiritual energy required in our own spiritual pursuit. Because Balaram, I mean the personality exudes so much strength, and in his early lulas we can see the physical strength and also the internal strength. One quick reference is we can remember the story of Krishna and Balaram when they go to Mathura and they are at the bank, and they see this washerman who has Kamsa's clothes, and then Krishna goes on to him nicely, "Oh, can you spare us some clothes?" And the washerman starts fuming. "How can you speak like this? This is king's clothes, blah, 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 blah." And Balaram just comes and slaps the guy's head off. You know, so he exudes that much strength, both physically and internally, because that is his role. To create, you need energy. You cannot create anything without energy. And like I explained, Krishna expands as Balaram, then Balaram expands. The whole creative process, comes from his internal energy as well as his external energy. It is said the whole cosmic vibration rests on the head of Seshanaga. So without further ado, this is just a summary. The part I really want to focus today is on Balaram's earthly pastimes. I chose just two, and the esoteric meanings behind them. And first is the killing of Palambasura. Now, briefly, the story. Krishna and the coward boys, they go to the forest. They decide to play a wrestling contest. They divide into two groups, Krishna's group, Balaram's group. Whichever group loses carries the other group on their back for a shoulder ride. As it will happen, Krishna's group loses and they have to carry Balaram's group. But in the assembly of cowherd boys, there's a demon disguised as a Gopal, infiltrates the group, and somehow or the other gets to carry Balaram, because he's on Krishna's group and Krishna's group loses. So, long story short, he carries Balaram for the back ride, and as he's going, he transforms into this gigantic demon, and Balaram kills him. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that each of the killing of the demons, all the demons that Krishna killed and the few that Balaram killed, have esoteric meanings behind them. And to the degree that the sadhaka taps into these esoteric meanings, to that degree we can help ourselves in our spiritual progress. I'll give you a quick example. Now, even though sometimes it is deemed as a taboo in our movements to talk about Rasa Leela, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains very well, and even in Krishna books, Srila Prabhupada explains that by reading about these pastimes, one can purge or remove lusty desires in one's heart. And this is one of the benefits of reading about the Rasa Lila. Now, that is not to say that it should be thrown in the hands of any Tom, Dick, and Harry, but the fact still remains that by reading a particular Lila, there's a goal to achieve, there's a benefit, there is an esoteric meaning behind it. So back to Parambasura, one of the hidden meanings of the killing of Parambasura is that by reading this story, the desire for sexual immorality is removed from our hearts. Now, before I continue further, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the killing of other demons by Krishna removes certain anattas in our hearts. But he says it's interesting to note that just by reading those leelas performed by Krishna and the killing of those demons, that automatically these anattas are removed. Gradually, slowly. He says, but in the case of Balaram, it doesn't happen like that. Now one will be like, I repeat, by reading the leelas where Krishna kills the demons, certain anattas are removed. But in the case of Balaram killing certain demons, these anattas are removed, but there is a clause. There is clause. And that clause is, okay, let me backtrack a bit. Just by reading Krishna Lila, the killing of certain demons, whether you make any conscious effort, the cleansing takes place. But by reading the activities of Balaram, killing certain demons, the cleansing takes place if you make an extra effort. And we'll look at them. It's very interesting. Now, Parambasura, one of the anattas that goes away is this sexual immorality. Now, yes, by reading, this anatta is removed. But then you have to make an effort. How? You cannot have a promiscuous lifestyle, whichever way, male or female, and then think that just by reading, it will go away. Does it make sense? You cannot have a promiscuous lifestyle, either male or female, and think that just by reading this particular pastime, that lifestyle will stop. So there has to be a conscious effort from the reader or the sadhaka to try to actually stop this on his own. That's why I said that there's a clause. There has to be some effort. Now, another interesting one is, by reading the pastime of Parambasura, the desire for personal worship or adoration is reduced. But again, the clause is there. You also have to try to reduce it. Now, it is a normal thing that everyone wants some recognition, some adoration, some glorification. But, Chaitanya Prabhu says, Chinara Pishanishana Taruga Pisaishana, that one cannot chant the holy name of the Lord if one is not humble. So, yes, by reading the story of the killing of Parambasura, yes, it will help us to reduce the tendency to want puja, lobha, pratishtha, adoration and glory. But then, the practitioner has to put himself or herself in a place where they can learn humility. So again, there's a clause. Yes, it will help you to reduce fame and the desire for glorification, but you have to also put yourself in a place where this desire is reduced. So you have to make an effort to reduce. You cannot want people to There's this joke. Please accept my offenses and... How do you say it? No, one second. Normally we write, please accept my humble obeisances. But there's a joke that is said among devotees. Please accept all my offenses and... No, please accept all my offenses and ignore my obeisances. Something in that direction, you know? We want people to accept our offenses, but we don't want to give them obeisances. So we cannot have the mentality of, please accept all my offenses, but ignore my obeisances, and then say, oh, but I'm reading Balaram's pastime of killing Paramasura, so it's going to help me. No, there has to be a conscious effort to want to be humble. Then, coupled with the reading of this pastime, the desire for personal glorification and pujala pratishtha reduces. Another interesting one is, related, it's personal gain. Now, this could be interesting. Personal gain in the sense that we think spiritual life is a business. I do this for Krishna, he gives me this. If I am doing this much for Krishna and he's not giving me this much, then there's no point. Now, to this respect, if we break it down a bit, there is an interesting area in this sense that Ayendra Prabhu speaks about, and he talks about doing kirtan for money, for material remuneration. And we have these professional kirtaniers in India who, they do very paka kirtan, but there is a fee at the end. You know, I do 3-hour kirtan for you, I get maybe 25,000 rupees or whatever. So that is doing service for a personal gain. There is something attached to that service. Okay, I do this, but the service I do has to translate in X, Y, Z amount of personal gain. If it does not translate into that exact amount of personal gain, then I'm not doing it. Get the gist. Now, the interesting thing is, yes, by performing Yugadam Harinam Sankirtan or the nine principles of bhakti, yes, there are byproducts that would definitely come out. But that does not mean that we squeeze, it's like we hold the Maha Mantra by the neck, that you have to produce what I want. Now, if the Yajaman or the person performing this sacrifice on his own decides that, okay, I want to give you pranami, or I want to give you dakshina, that's different. But the sadhaka or the devotee should not perform his bhajan or service with the consciousness or the desire to have a personal gain out of it. Now, again, this is something that you have to practically do. This is not like a subtle thing. This is a physical thing. That's why the anathas that the leelas of Balaram destroy are more physical than subtle. Because you have to consciously put an effort to try to stop them. Jai Shishupan Tatoki, Jai Shishugoni Taiki, Jai. Now, to the degree that you put an effort to try to stop them physically, combined with the simultaneous reading of these pastimes, to that degree, there will be an effect. Another leela is the killing of Dhenukasura, the ass demon. There is this beautiful forest that has palm trees and it has beautiful nuts, but no one goes there because there are demons there. And finally, the boys say, Krishna, we like this fruit, we have to go there. Okay, Krishna and Balaram go there, Dhenukasura and his family attack, they get all wiped out. And the boys finally, and every other people around the village have access to these fruits and they can eat it. So there's also an esoteric meaning behind this. And this is actually one of the most interesting, because Balaram, like I said, didn't kill many demons. But before this, there's an interesting one that once Balaram goes to Krishna and he says, you know, today I want to be you. You know, it's interesting that because in the previous Leela, he says, you know, I'm tired of this younger brother thing. This Leela, I want to be. But this Leela, Krishna Balaram Leela, says, today I want to be you. I'm going to wear yellow dhoti. I'm going to put peacock feather. I'm going to take your flute. And, you know, you be me. You stay at home. I will go outside. Okay. So Krishna gives him the peacock, gives him his flute, gives him his dhoti. Balaram dresses, poof, runs out. The boys come. Unfortunately, that day, back in Mathura, Kamsa is about to send Keshi, the horse demon, to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. And Keshi is like, how do I recognize this Krishna? Kamsa says, oh, it's simple. He has a peacock feather. He plays a flute. He wears a yellow dhoti. So Keshi comes to Vrindavan. Brr, 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 brr. He sees Krishna, who is actually Balaram, playing the flute with the peacock. And Keshi goes like, boom! Hard kick on the chest. And he says the kick actually throws Balaram like some good meter. And Balaram was out of breath. Balaram managed, but he fell unconscious, in quotes. Unconscious. And so Keshi thought he was dead. So Keshi goes back like, oof. When Balaram wakes up, he was like, nah, this is not a good idea. Enough of playing Krishna today. You know, he runs back home. He's like, see, take all these things, man. Enough. You go be Krishna. So it's interesting here because some acharyas have explained that even Balaram, who is non-different from Krishna, is still not Krishna. Krishna is always Krishna. So if you look at this, it makes me laugh sometimes when you see mere mortal human beings who claim to be Krishna. And they claim to be expansions of Krishna. Or they claim to be avatars. Or they claim to have their rasa lila, whatever they do. You know, if Balaram can have a difficulty being Krishna, who are we? You know, when I was in India, I tried as much as possible not to get into, because there's so many avatars in India. You know, so many avatars, you know. Somebody comes up today, he has a few mystic power here and there, he's avatar. You know, over the news, I've been seeing there's this lady who is supposed to be Radharani's avatar, who has been, she calls herself Radha Ma. And she's going under some interesting court case for dressing, how do you say, dressing inappropriately, exposing herself. And but that's the idea. People have a little fame or a little power or whatever, and then they become avatars. But then if we carefully study the scriptures, we look at the definition of avatar, the types of avatar, guna, lila, manvantara, sakya, vish. I mean, it's simple. The first question I ask these people is, you know, which avatar does this person say he or she is? Is it guna? Is it lila? Is it manvantara? Is it sakya, vish? Is it which one? And then they're like, I say, okay, you know, okay, fine. Even if you don't know which one, which scripture is this avatar, you know, foretold, you know, which scripture did they mention this avatar? And again, they're like, you know, so you're not mentioned in any scripture. You don't even know which of the avatars you fall under. You know, so what kind of avatar are you? You know, so it's interesting because these so-called avatars forget the fact that even Balaram, who is non-different from Krishna, cannot be Krishna. Srimati Radharani is non-different from Krishna, but still Krishna is Krishna. You know, but so it's funny and at the same time painful that sometimes living entities we try to play God, you know. But anyway, without much ado, the killing of Dhanikasura is very particular on this subject. The next anatta is, it helps us rectify the loss of our spiritual identity by listening to the story or by reading the story of the killing of Dhenukasura, one rectifies or one cleanses the anatta of loss of one's spiritual identity. Now, loss of spiritual identity, like I said, every lila of Balaram killing a demon comes with a clause. You have to make a physical effort for the reading to take effect on the anatta. Now, you cannot just keep reading this lila without making proper realization, proper investigation into who you are and expect it to work. Now, loss of one's spiritual identity. I mean, it's obvious. If you do not know who you are, it's easy to think you're God. So it makes sense. You know? If you do not know that you're a jiva, and not just any jiva, you're part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not just that, you're subservient and you're His eternal servant, and not just that, you're supposed to serve Him eternally. No, eternally, you know, eternally means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know, if you do not understand these simple basic things, then it's easy to think you're God. So the pastime of the killing of Dhenukasura is to help the sadhaka or the devotee to consciously make inquiries about his or her own spiritual identity. So you don't lose this. While simultaneously, uncovering the esoteric truth behind this lila. Now, how do you know who you are? How do you avoid loss of your spiritual identity if you do not make inquiries? Atato Brahma Gigyasa. You know, so you have to understand that, okay, who am I? Where am I from? Where am I going to? Why am I here? ETC. Then the lila can have effect. You know, then Balaram can help to remove the other side. Another interesting one is the ignorance, and this is very interesting, ignorance of the non-difference of Krishna and His name. Ignorance of the non-difference of Krishna and His name. Now, Krishna, he said, Nam and Nami are non-different. Because by calling Nam, Nami appears. If I say Sasha, whoever has that name comes. If I say Marco, whoever has that name, what? So, even on the material understanding, there is some glimpse. But in this case, it's a little bit different. Because tomorrow, Marco can decide that he doesn't want to be Marco anymore. He can decide to be Yamuna Jivan. And he changes, you know, like that. But this case is different because Krishna is eternally non-different from His name. And he said that by calling on His name, in this particular yuga, in this particular age, we can get connected to Him and get liberation. That's the yuga dharma for this age. So, to the degree that the sadhaka understands that Krishna and His name are simultaneously one, no, simultaneously means it's different. Non-separable. To the degree that the sadhaka understands this fact, and to the degree that he applies the killing of the lila of the killing of Dhenukasura, to that degree, that anatta is gently lifted. Now, more into this is that we cannot understand the intimate connection between Nam and Nami if we do not actually connect to the Nam. Nam means the name. Now, to the degree that we keep constantly and consciously chanting Nam, which is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to that degree, we get to see the connection between Krishna and His name. Now, there's an interesting comparison of you have Guru Nam and Krishna Nam. And it is said that each, even though, how do I put this? Okay, by chanting, that this is another interesting point. By chanting Krishna Nam with a tinge of accessing or connecting into the Madhurya aspect of Krishna Nam, then offenses are considered. This is a bit, I'll break it down. When we say Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We address Hare, Hara, Radha, the energy. And Krishna. When we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, connecting to Hare, Hara, Radha, the energy of Krishna, with the consciousness of tapping into the Madhurya aspect, then offenses are considered. But when we chant the Gauranam of Hari, Gaur, Gadai, having Hari, Hara as Gadai in Gaur Lila, who is non-different from Srimati Radharani, but accessing the Gadai aspect of Hara, then offenses are not considered. So that brings up a step back again into, now then the so you have Gaur, Gadai, Gaur, Gadai, 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 Gaur, Gaur. Then you have in the Madhurya aspect of Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram here becomes Balaram, but in the Gaur, connecting to the Gaur Lila, or the first was the connecting to the Madhurya, but now connecting to the Hare Krishna mantra through the Odarya, Balaram becomes Nitai. Now, because Nitai, who is non-different from Balaram, but in a more magnificent and in a more merciful form, offenses are not considered. So someone can say, but then, I mean, we're told to chant Hare Krishna anyway. Yes, in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the Odarya form is included. The Madhurya form is also included. But to the degree that you know, that's why I said, ignorance of the relationship between Krishna and his name. Now, this is just unpacking the Mahamantra a little bit more. Now, we chant every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now, the relationship between these names and the connection to which aspect we are tapping into cannot come if we do not make inquiries. To the degree that we make inquiry into which name we're actually tapping into, which energy, which lila, which bhav we're actually tapping into, to that degree that we try to understand the non-difference in these names, to that degree do we actually get help. So like I said, even though it looks seemingly different because one taps into the Madhurya Lila and offenses are considered, and one taps into the Gaura Lila and offenses are not considered, but it's still the same name. That is the beauty. But these intricacies will not manifest if the sadhaka does not make conscious effort. You see, so the sadhaka has to make conscious inquiry and effort into understanding the intricacies of the name. Hare, Hara, Nam, Hare, Krishna, Radha, Rama, Balaram, Nitai, Gadai, Go, and understanding how these names interrelate and how best he can tap into this name to get full benefit. Now, this is a little, well, I say, it's a topic of its own, but it's interesting because the killing of Dhanukasura, one of the anatta it addresses, is being able to understand the non-difference between Krishna and his name. Now, superficially, I went a little bit further, because superficially we can say, oh yes, Krishna is not different from his name. And in so many references in the scripture, Krishna says he's not different from his name. So that's clear. But that's on the preliminary level. You know, we tell people, okay, chant God's name because God is not different from his name. That is on the preliminary level. But as sadhakas or as devotees, if we go deeper, then we begin to access the name on different levels. And that helps us in our own spiritual life. Because we chant every day, every week, every month. But then we keep wondering, no, why am I not getting Sudanam Ruchi? Why? So it depends on which name you're chanting. But like I said, it takes a little bit more of understanding to access and to go deeper into this aspect, to be able to connect the dots together. So hopefully, yesterday was Bharam Purnima. Hopefully in these few days, if we read more about these pastimes, and we make more inquiries. So Bharam is there, or Nita is there as Adi Guru, but Guru, like the verses, Tadvidipane Pratina, Paripasana Sevaya, inquire submissively, render service. You know, you have to do something. To get Guru, you have to do some. First, you have to be ready. You have to inquire. You have to render service. You have to inquire submissively. So Nityananda or Balaram is that aspect. You know, Guru will help you. Reading these pastimes will help you remove these anattas, but you have to do something. Krishna says, Sarva dhamma paricchaya mame kam saranam vraja. Aham tvam sapabe mokshama. Say, surrender. I will take care. I will do everything for you. Just surrender. Balaram is, no. You do this much, I do this much. You get the gist. Guru, Tadvidi Prani Prasana, you surrender to Guru, but you have to inquire, surrender, inquire submissively, render service. No, you do this much and I will help you. So the reading of Balaram's pastimes will remove the anattas to the degree that the practitioner or the sadhaka makes effort, because most of the anattas in this lila of the killing of the demons by Balaram are physical things. You can actually feel them. They might be subtle, but they are very much gross because they translate outside. Whereas the killing of demons by Krishna are very subtle, and Krishna takes care just by reading them. Lost. Krishna takes care by reading certain lila. The killing of Putana has a different anatta it takes care of. The killing of Trinavrata has a different anatta it takes care of. And so on and so forth. The killing of the liberation of the twin trees has a different anatta it takes care of. So, there's a lot more we can tap into, but I think we've gone over time. There's a lot more I still prepared, but we will jump it. I wish I could connect a little bit about Lord Balaram, Nityananda, and bring them back to Krishna Lila, and then reveal their internal swarup, but that will take us some more time. So officially, we can end on the note that these 2 days, yesterday, today, we can try and connect as much as possible to Lord Balaram by reading his pastimes, by making conscious effort to surrender to Guru, and by actually making, will I say, added conscious, enthusiastic endeavor. And then Balaram will help. So on this note, we will officially stop. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, then we can proceed. Hare Krishna. Ladies first. Hare Baba.
Physical and the
consciousness. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not, you coming to class is an endeavor. You chanting your round is an endeavor. You waking up from Mangarati is an endeavor. But like I said, if you look at the anathas that the killing of demons by Balaram addresses, they are anathas that they translate very physically. You cannot solve them without making an extra effort. Say, for example, loss of one's identity. If I do not know who I am, by making an effort, now, one might say, but we know who we are. We know we are not this body. We know we are spirit souls. We know we are going back on back to Godhead. It doesn't stop there. For the non-devotees, that's enough. But for all of us, it's not enough. Why? Because knowing your spiritual identity and avoiding the loss of your spiritual identity is understanding your constitutional position in your eternal disposition or rasa with the Lord. Now, that's no joke. Now, you see. So, we're not talking of knowing that I'm a spirit soul. I'm a spirit soul. I'm not this body. It's one side. But being able to understand your eternal disposition with the Lord in terms of your eternal rasa, that's ragmag. That's intense. That takes effort. You understand? And as interesting as it is, even when you understand who you are in that sense, even when you are able to understand your eternal relationship, even when you're able to serve in that sense, still at that point, there is still a lot of cleansing to do. And even in this body, we cannot tap it to the fullest. Because the best we get in this body is Vastu Siddhi. You know? Siddha Deha will come after this body. Nitya Siddhas have both in this body. So you can see that on the facial level, it's like, oh yes, but we already know who we are. So what is the extra effort? This is the extra effort. Being able to connect to the subtle part of it, which is a little more difficult. I don't want to use the word difficult, but a step further in that sense. You know, it's giving up fame, adoration, and all of that. You might look at it on the physical, but if you go deeper again, it's more.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is basically Radha and Krishna himself. So he has the most merciful mood of Srimati Radharani, and at the same time, he also has the mood of Krishna. So it's both there. So both mercies are basically present in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sometimes I'm wondering, since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the mercy of Krishna and Radha, that's really incredible. So how is it possible then that oftentimes we say that Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, is more merciful than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's a bit inconceivable in one sense, because I mean, I'm doing this now in a way, one plus one is two, and you is, you know what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I will answer just very briefly. First, I will use your last phrase to answer your question. The reference is skipping my head right now, but it is said that spiritual topics cannot be understood by material calculations. I can find you the exact reference later. But what this means is, like you said, if we always try to figure things out in the sense of 1 + 1 = 2 in spiritual activities, we will always miss it. Most times. Now, without deliberating further there, why is Nityananda considered more merciful? I mean, without too much philosophy, take the story of Jagaramadai. Now, this is not philosophy. This is real. Jagadamadai. They broke Nityananda's head, or the toy's head, or whatever. Chaitanya Prabhu comes, and he's going to kill them. And you could do it. The person whose head was broken comes to beg on their behalf. What could be more merciful? This is not philosophy. This is very real, practical, down-to-earth, straight. Your head is broken. The police comes, wants to arrest the person who does it. Again, you plead on behalf of the person who has done the crime. That, no. What could be more merciful? Without Nityananda intervening, Jagadamba Madai will not get the blessing. I mean, eventually they will. But in another way, they might have to die first. You know, but the mercy that they got by being able to embrace Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that mercy was Nityananda's intervention. And because Nityananda is not different from his Adiguru, is not different from Guru, you know, Yasha Prashada Bhagava Prashada, you need Guru to get Krishna. That's the idea. So Krishna is merciful, but you cannot connect to Krishna directly. Chaitanya Prabhu is not even from Krishna, but you cannot connect to Krishna directly. You always need people to connect to Krishna. Now, when we speak like this is not to say that we don't have a direct relationship with Krishna. No, that's not the point. But we're saying that to get Krishna's attention, you need someone. Now, if we bring this back to this Leela here, and just to add, to connect both, understanding one's spiritual identity as an example again, and how Nityananda is more merciful. Now, if we stretch this a little bit, and forgive me if anyone is offended, if we stretch this a little bit into the Leelas, when the living entity, or when the perfected Jiva attains his spiritual body, his new spiritual body, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in one of his songs is that he has to wait. Now, this is a very interesting question, because most times we think when we leave the body now, we're going back to Godhead. Well, for some people, yes, but most of us, no. At that point, when the perfected Jiva gets his spiritual body, he understands his spiritual identity now, you know, he still cannot associate directly with Krishna. He has to wait. In waiting, he keeps praying, he keeps chanting, he keeps hoping and longing for that day when he will be able to get into the service. Now, what happens? His group leader or the Yukteswari comes and says, now, this is a Manjari Bhav. In other Bhav, it could be different. The Yukteswari comes and says, okay, now I think you can do something. But you do it and you report to me. I will see if maybe I can somehow or the other slip it into the service of Radha and Krishna. Now, when whatever service you do is accepted by the Yukteswari and it's sent to Radha and Krishna, and Srimati Radhika is pleased, then she might ask, who did this? Then maybe your Yukteswari or the group leader will say, oh, it was so person who did this. Now see, even at the level of being perfected, at the level of understanding who you are, at the level of being, you know, that's like really high there. Still you need someone. You understand? So that is the essence, I mean, the aspect of guru in whatever form. You know, this is a lot more esoteric and we can go deeper and deeper and deeper, but like I said, in order not to offend people and not to disturb anybody's mind, the aspect of Nityananda, Adiguru, cannot be removed. Because his presence comes, he plays his... Now, interestingly, just by the side, I think I'll wrap up with that. Balaram is the only person who serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in all five rasas. Santa, Dacia, Sakya, Vasala, all five. Because he can do that. So whichever direction we want to pass, he's there. Now, that's another topic of his own, but like I said, maybe later we can discuss more if you want. But without philosophy, without all of this, if you don't want to disturb your mind, just look at the story of Jagga and Madai. It's very simple there. Okay. Today is chickpea. So, yeah. So, on the absence of any question, Ananta Prabhu, you have anything to add? It's Prashad. Dante, oh, it's not Bhagavatam. Sri Sri Bharam Punimaki Nitai Gaura Premanande.